peace upon our church family. Shows how God loves us and wants the best for us, how He has a hope and a future for us, and really speaks of how God works through prayer. Everyone say that. God works through prayer. There are different prayers in the Bible, such as the Lord's Prayer. We can call it the Disciples' Prayer. And these prayers guide us regarding how to pray. One example of a prayer is known as the Prayer of Jabez. In the middle of multiple family histories called genealogies in 1 Chronicles, a man named Jabez stood out. Jabez stood out because of his prayer. Jabez shows us how someone can be distinctive in their family history by trusting the Lord. Amid all of these genealogies, all of these family histories of different ones, Jabez was prominent. Exactly why did he stand out? Jabez stood out because of his faith-filled prayer about his future. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10 tells us of Jabez and his prayer. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. God loves it when we delight in Him. He loves it when we delight in Him so much that we pray a God-ordained prayer. And He wants to answer that prayer. God granted Jabez what he requested. What did Jabez pray for? He prayed that the Lord would bless him, that God would enlarge his territory, that God's hand would be with him, and that God would keep him from evil. A very, very godly prayer. First, Jabez prayed that God would bless him. Of course, we all desire to be blessed. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12 speak of being blessed. Beatitudes are attitudes of being. Beatitudes are attitudes of being. It's attitudes of being. It's attitudes of walking. It's attitudes of progressing. It's attitudes of being in such a way that bring blessing. When we walk according to biblical attitudes, we will be blessed. For instance, one of the Beatitudes is the following, Matthew 5, 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." When we cultivate an attitude of being a peacemaker, when we cultivate an attitude of making peace between different ones, between us and others, between others and our places of employment, or wherever we may be, when we cultivate an attitude of making peace, we are imitating Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And so we are called sons of God. That's just one beatitude. I don't have time today to go into all the beatitudes. Second, Jabez prayed that God would enlarge his territory. In that rural community, Jabez was praying that the Lord would enlarge his land, enlarge his real estate. Today, when we pray that prayer in the New Covenant, we're praying that the Lord would enlarge our sphere of influence, that we would righteously and positively influence others. For young people, when you pray that prayer, you are praying that God will help you to righteously and positively influence your peers. We're asking God not simply to bless us for our own sake, but that we would bless others by our godly influence. Jabez had a desire to be great. We should have a desire to be great, but not so that we can show off our greatness. We should desire to walk in what Jesus Christ called greatness. When he said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. We should desire to walk in the greatness of serving God and serving others. Third, Jabez prayed that God's hand would be with him. Jabez was praying for God's presence to be in his life. The presence of God in our life is a secret to courage, the secret of facing into fear and being a champion for the Lord. One champion of the Lord, David, said in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God commanded Joshua, another great champion, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When the Lord commissioned his disciples as he was about to ascend, he said to his disciples to make disciples of all nations, and then assured them with these words, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. As with other champions of the Bible, Jabez was asking for the Lord to be with them. That's a good prayer. Indeed, focusing on the Lord's presence gives us the courage to embrace the challenging tasks God has for us. You see, our life on this earth is not just for us to be blessed or for us to even have an easy life. God is calling us of all people, Christians, ones that believe in God, ones that walk by faith in God, ones that serve a great God, to do challenging things, to be willing to take on challenging tasks, to do things that are not easy. That's what he's calling us to do, and he gives us the courage to embrace those challenges. Lastly, Jabez prayed that God would keep him from evil. Why did Jabez pray that? Well, Jabez surely knew what his name meant. His name meant Jabez, it meant he will cause pain. However, Jabez made a decision. I really appreciated the song choices this morning, and the song that one that really touched my heart, it says, the words you speak turn things around. The words God speaks turn things around. And Jabez made a decision. He decided that his name, Jabez, would not define him. Instead, Jabez prayed that he would live his life in such a way that he would not cause pain. Turning his name around, he decided to shun evil and not cause pain in others' lives. What a great prayer. When Jabez prayed about his future, he prayed in faith. What is faith? More importantly, what is faith in God? Faith is confidence that if we call out to God and seek Him with all our hearts, that we're going to connect with the God of the universe, that God is hearing us and will answer us, and that we will find Him. Faith in God is an adventure. Another song I really appreciated this morning was a song about God being a wonder worker. God is a wonder worker in our lives, and He is still working wonders today. Faith in God is an adventure. It's an adventure to see God work in our lives and to experience amazing breakthroughs. In my adventure of faith, I've seen God work in such a way that all I can do to summarize what God has done is the five-letter word, G-R-A-C-E, grace. Today, Oscar shared, I have tasted God's power. I can tell you that I have tasted God's power in my life. And God wants every single one of you to taste God's power in your life. He wants you to go on this adventure of faith and to see God do great things in your life. In my adventure of faith, I've seen God work through prayer. In college, I recall going through a trial of faith and needing help. I was desperate. I went on a run in the middle of the winter and I called out to God to send someone or something. I was desperate. I needed help. And God sent an elderly man named K.B. Hoover that very day, who just happened to be out walking on a cold wintry day. He met me on a covered bridge and he saw that I was distraught. With compassion, Mr. K.B. Hoover talked with me and invited me to his home that evening. I went to his house many times that year, and he helped to nurture me at a critical time in my faith journey. The next year, I recall driving home from college, really struggling with sin consciousness, confessing sin after sin after sin. A thought would pop into my mind, and I would just confess it as sin. My mind was on sin. I had neglected to understand that principle in Scripture that says to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Instead of being focused on Christ, my mind was preoccupied with avoiding sin. I wanted to make sure every sin I could possibly ever commit was confessed so that I would not go to heaven without any sin unconfessed. I wanted to make sure I was totally right with God. But my mind was preoccupied with avoiding sin. And I'll never forget, as I was about to confess another sin, all by myself, at nighttime, in my car, I will never forget that a huge 18-wheeler truck came right into my line of vision, right over the overhang of the bridge as I was going down the highway, right in front of my eyes, with a large capital letter word, G-R-A-C-E. And at that point, I knew that God was sending me a message. During the rest of my drive home, my mind wasn't on sin anymore. Rather, I was praising God. And what God's grace does in my life, it gets my focus off myself and on sin, and my focus on God and what He can do in my life. I believe the Lord sent me a message that day to learn what it means to walk by His grace. Similarly, I recall struggling with suicidal thoughts as a young man. I don't think I was actually suicidal, but I believe the enemy was attacking my mind, which is where the battlefield is in our lives. It's in our mind. As I worked my lawn mowing job, I was preoccupied with negative thoughts. One day, as I was taking my lunch break and reading God's Word, the Lord gave me a passage of Scripture from 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11, that has stayed with me to this day. It's interesting to me that the passage is addressed to young men. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen." This passage was a word directly from the Lord to me to help me to overcome. It has become a part of my testimony. It became a rallying cry to me as I went back out after lunch, went back out to work, and whenever the negative thoughts returned, I confessed that Scripture passage with conviction. I could imagine my Christian brothers all over the world undergoing the same battle. And we were standing together in Christ. And now, whenever my thoughts seem to get out of control, I simply state that passage with conviction, and I overcome. That Scripture has become part of my very being, just as much as my right arm. After I graduated from college, I became an English teacher. One responsibility that an English teacher cannot neglect, that an English teacher has to face into, is that of grading compositions. With that responsibility comes subjectivity. Is this grade a B plus or an A minus? What is it? All right, the subjectivity of grading compositions. I got so caught up in that task, the subjectivity of it, that Satan started accusing me of grading the compositions inaccurately. He even accused me of grading them wrongly on purpose. Well, through that trial, I learned to walk in faith. I would be up the night before just anxious and worried that the next day I would have to grade compositions. And I really struggled with that. But I learned to walk in faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. And through that process, I learned to commit to the Lord in prayer. Whenever I would grade compositions, I would bring those compositions before the Lord and say, Lord, I commit the grading of these compositions into your hands. I ask that you guide me. And the Lord helped me to learn to walk by faith through the grading of compositions. And so there would be a time where, you know, Satan would say, well, how do you know that's really the grade? How can you be sure? And I would just say, that grade is in the Lord's hands. I'll find out in eternity. I'll find out when I get to heaven. I learned to walk in faith. And I just left it there. And now I've learned to commit all of my life, every single day, every single decision. My kids sometimes laugh at me. You know, I say, okay, let's commit the watching of the Redskins this year into the Lord's hands. You know, I commit everything into God's hands. And I ask Him to guide me in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Commit your way to the Lord, and He will make your path straight. And the Lord has helped me as a pastor, as a principal, all right, to commit every decision into His hands. And praise the Lord, He has helped me to learn to walk in faith and to make confident decisions for the people with whom I work. Next, I saw a very important answer to prayer regarding my future. The Lord's provision of my wife, Sylvia Christina Vendanya. As I had prayed for my wife, the Lord had given me a vision of what kind of lady my wife would be. I'm 5 years older than my wife. Isn't she so young looking? I got all this gray hair, but I'm 5 years older than my wife, so she's eternally young. And the years that I was in college, she was in high school. In fact, in my wallet, I have a beautiful picture of my wife when she was in seventh grade. That picture reminds me of how God protected Sylvia through trying circumstances in her youth. Looking back, we see how God answered my prayer to protect her, even though I didn't know her at the time. Eventually, the Lord worked to bring Sylvia from Honduras to Massachusetts to Maryland. It was a long way around where we met. She became the Spanish teacher at the Christian school where I was the English teacher. I knew within a month that Sylvia was the one I had been praying for, the one in the vision that the Lord had given to me. It was simply a matter of recognizing God's work. And of course, together we work today in the pastoral ministry and in raising up champions for the Lord at Living Grace School. As a young couple, my wife and I underwent a trial of faith in which we had to continue to trust the Lord's provision and direction for His calling in our lives. The school at which I had been working closed near the end of the summer. I was a teacher. It was the end of the summer. What was I going to do? I needed God's provision. I called a Christian school in another part of Maryland and told them I was looking for a teaching job. The administrator on the other end of the line said that they needed an English and physical education teacher. I was like, did I say that or did you say that? Being an English and PE teacher was exactly what I did. I went in for the interview and got the job. The Lord provided for my wife and me at a critical time as a young couple. And I enjoyed 3 years of teaching and coaching the young people at that school. In fact, it was during that period of my life that the Lord led Sylvia and me to start a Christian camp called Camp Courage, one with a mission of encouraging champions for the Lord. As I prayed about our future, I believe the Lord led me to start this camp. However, as we approached the first year, things were not looking good. The financing of the camp didn't seem to be coming along. We were at a critical juncture. And I remember I almost felt like giving up, but I cried out to the Lord in prayer. He answered our prayer. We were able to have a significant financial event, and we continued on with a successful first year of camp. This past summer, Camp Courage had its 25th year of encouraging young champions for God. A little while later, I experienced a health concern. I love to eat, and maybe sometimes I can chomp on my food too hard. I was eating lunch one day, and all of a sudden, I experienced my jaw locking, not my law jocking. I experienced my jaw locking. As I pursued medical help, my doctor told me that it was the dentist's responsibility to take care of it. And my dentist told me that it was the doctor's responsibility. What was I to do? I was at a standstill. The medical professionals in my life couldn't help me. At a Christian home group meeting, I asked for prayer for the healing of my jaw. As I received prayer, a warm sensation went through my jaw, and I was immediately healed. To this day, I have not had a problem with my jaw. Of course, Sylvia and I have been called to work with children, to teach children and help them to grow and to walk with the Lord. The ironic thing is that early in our marriage, we were not able to have children. Sylvia was diagnosed with a condition that made it hard for her to bear children. And this is really hard for us. I can remember being on the floor before the Lord, all right, prostrate before God, crying out to God that God would open up Sylvia's womb and that we would be able to have a child. And we just prayed for a number of years. We had prayer partners that were praying with us, prayer intercessors, just giving me words like arrows in the hand of a warrior, sons born to one's youth, and just different scriptures to pray over her womb. And sometimes I was tired, and I don't want to just keep on praying, but I just persisted to keep on praying these prayers. And I'll never forget coming home from Regent University for a summer break, and we're in the car, and Sylvia told me that she was pregnant. As we continued with that pregnancy, there was a point in time in which things looked a little bit like there might be a problem with how Anna was growing in the womb. And we were very, very alarmed by this. And I remember, of course, praying about it, going to the doctors, and it seems like the nurses were whispering about us and so forth. And I never felt so anxious in my life, but we kept praying. And the doctor assured us to keep proceeding, and Anna was in a hurry, and she came out a month early, and I won't go into the details of that. So he was very grateful, but Anna came, and we were very, very grateful for her. She was an answer to prayer. As I grew in the Lord, I continued to pray about God's plans for our future. I was initially called to teach and disciple young people, helping them to grow in their walk with the Lord. After being an educator for almost 20 years, the Lord called me to the pastoral ministry. This was a major leap of faith for me. I had enjoyed working with children immensely, and I recall wondering, am I really giving this up? At that point in time, my office kind of, I would open up my door, and it would go directly to where the kids were playing at recess. And they were just out there playing, and if you know me, I like to go out and play with the kids at recess. And I remember just sitting at my desk and having the door open and looking at the kids and saying, am I really giving this up? I loved doing what I was doing. However, in faith, I decided to sell all for the cause of Christ. The Lord called me to pastor His people, leading them into the promised land God has for us. Through this process, I learned Jesus' principle of giving up one's life in Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. As I embraced the pastoral calling, the Lord proceeded to redeem our first call. He called my wife and me to start as a school, as a ministry of the church, Living Grace Christian School, one with the mission of raising up champions for the Lord. In addition to the pastoral call, the Lord redeemed his call to teach and disciple children. It had never really left. We just needed to trust God for our future. Following the Lord's direction, we had to trust and obey Him. In fact, as we grew as a church and as a school, we continued to pray about our future. Previously, we had the impression that it would be almost impossible to build an expanded facility on our church's property because of the powers that be. However, we continued to pray about our future, and the Lord started opening doors within our community. We started to see God bring us more favor, more grace. As we continued to pray for God's direction for our church, He opened the way. And now, today, we are going to be dedicating the facility that the Lord has given us for His purposes. The Lord is giving us room to grow, all for His purposes. As a Christian, for all of us, we all can learn to live an exciting adventure of faith. I encourage you to pray about your future. As you pray, you will see God work big and small miracles in your life, in your family, in your marriage, and in your children. Praying about your future is an amazing adventure as you learn to trust God. Like Jabez, we are called to pray about our future. A future focused not on ourselves, but on impacting others for Jesus Christ. And like Jabez, we are called to pray in faith believing. The writer of the book of Hebrews emphasized this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. How do we please God? We please Him by walking in faith. Again, the Bible emphasizes in Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. When we pray in faith about our future, we please God. Our faith is not just faith in faith. Our faith is in God, the creator of the universe. When we call out to God, He hears us. Joel 2:32 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jeremiah 29:11 declares the following, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you." I want to encourage all the young people here. I want to encourage everyone here to pray about your future. The Lord knows your future. He knows the plans He has for you. And it's a good future. When you call upon God in prayer, He is listening. When you seek God with all your heart, that's walking in faith. You're making God your trust. As you pray in faith, you will find God. And at the right time, He will make known His plans for your life. Particularly for the young people, you might be asking, what exactly should I be praying for about my future? Three major areas are the following. My dad would tell young people, I took this to heart. He said, there are three major decisions that you are making as a youth. Ecclesiastes says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the times of trouble come, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It's not that parents and older people have no fun. It's just that when you get older, you have responsibilities of life that you have to take care of. But there are three major decisions that young people you want to get right in your youth. Number one is your God. Number two is your calling. And number three is your life mate. You want to get those three decisions right. If you get those three decisions right, I often tell young people the ages, however old you are, just add 8 years. If you're 13, from 8 years to 21. If you're 12, add 8 years to 20. If you're 15, add 8 years to age 23. In those 8 years, all right, you want to get these decisions right. It's not that you're going to get married by the time you're 20, but you want to start praying for your life mate. You want to start praying that God is protecting that person. You want to start praying that you're going to be making the right decision. You want to get these decisions right. Your God, your calling, and your life mate. And in those 8 years, if you get those decisions right, you will be setting your life up for a lifetime of blessing the next 80 years of your life. And so, young people, we want you to take this to heart. And so, three major areas to be praying for is pray to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Pray to understand your life calling in serving the Lord. And pray that God will give you the right person for your life mate. The person that you will walk this great adventure of life with. This great adventure of faith. I encourage you to pray about your future in the Lord. As you pray about your future, there are going to be times where you feel like giving up. There will be times where you just don't want to just keep praying the same prayers day after day after day. Well, Jesus told us to be persistent in prayer. Jesus told us to be bold in prayer. I've seen so many answers to prayer in my life that did not happen like this. They happened by praying and praying and praying and praying. For years, I have been jogging up and down Montgomery Village Avenue. Just call me the praying pastor or the running pastor. All right? I see people up and down Montgomery Village Avenue. I try to spread goodwill and say hi to people and just spread cheer as I go up and down Montgomery Village Avenue. For years, we've been praying that God would bring breakthroughs and would build this building, that we could be able to build, that God would give us favor with the community. For years, we've been praying that. And they started building. I remember last summer when we came back to school. Not this past summer, but the summer before that when we came back to school. And I went out on my jog because, you know, during the summer I'm jogging from home. I went out on my jog and I was coming back up Montgomery Village Avenue and I saw the building going up. And I could do nothing but praise God and thank Him. It was an answer to prayer because I remembered all those times jogging up and down Montgomery Village Avenue praying for breakthroughs. And now I saw the building going up and God has answered our prayers. Amen. So pray with persistence as you pray about your future. Pray with persistence. When it seems as if nothing is happening, don't give up on your prayers. After Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in Luke chapter 11, he shared the need for persistence and boldness in prayer. He shared the parable of a man who went to his friend at midnight to get bread that he needed to feed a visitor. The friend inside the house didn't want to be bothered because he was in bed with all his children. Now, I don't recommend you sleeping with your children. All right, I don't think it's a great thing to do, but perhaps they just had a one-room house and they had no other way to do it. Okay? And so, obviously, he's sleeping. He's with all his children. The children are sleeping. Well, he's not sleeping anymore. The children are sleeping. And if he gets out of bed, he's going to cause a ruckus. The children are going to start crying. You know, if I got to take an hour or two to get everyone back settled down. All right, he knows this. All right, and he doesn't want to cause a commotion. But this is what Jesus said. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus proceeded to emphasize the following about prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be opened. And he said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? When you pray, realize that you're praying to an all-loving Heavenly Father who wants to bless you with good gifts, such as the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pray for God's gifts to bless others, as opposed to earthly riches that will pass away. Pray for God's kingdom and will to come into your life and into your marriage, into your family's lives. Pray in confidence because your God loves you as a loving father. As Jabez did, pray in faith about God's plans for your future. And so right now, we want to go over to the Welcome Center and then to the Sanctimnasium, and we want to dedicate this building for the Lord's purposes. All right, so I encourage you to stay here for these last, for, I don't know, 15 minutes. We want to wait upon the Lord as we pray. And if anyone has a particular word for the Lord, from the Lord, about what God is doing, please do not hesitate to share that. And I would like someone, if they could go and get the children from the Kids Church services, to come on up as well. So go ahead, Gloria. All right, thank you. So let's just walk over together into the Welcome Center. We want to anoint this place as well.